Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by HTS. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. 3, 2, 1. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
That bull is a bully.
It's not a bully.
I got called a bully.
When?
2 days ago. Oh. Things have not been right since.
Okay, well, now they're right.
Yeah. Come on, let's hear that one bull. That bull has a little power to it.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm scared.
Steady.
Did you see that?
You're like, you don't want to break her.
Well, no.
Oh, that's subtle. That's nice. Good morning, Julie Fisher. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing this morning?
I'm waking up. I'm wonderful, but I'm waking up.
Are you? Have you? Did you sleep in a little bit this morning?
I'm a sleepy honey bear today.
A sleepy honey bear. Like poo. Like Winnie the Pooh.
Like poo.
Not like poo, pooper. But Winnie the Pooh.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
I thought it'd be fun, you know, our ships pass in the day and night. We were always seeing each other, and I thought that we haven't touched base in a while. I thought it'd be fun to have you back on the old podcast and see what's happening.
I'm always happy to come back.
Happening,
you know why?
In your world?
Because I know I'm going to have fun, and there are going to be lots of laughs. So, yeah, Wednesdays traditionally are, like, my day to lay low, and you, like, threw out the invitation. I was like, oh, I know it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, you know what the problem is like I have these days off or these moments, these times, these periods where I can do things, and I try to utilize them. So I initially was going to, I'm doing a podcast this afternoon at 11:30. And so I'm like, well, I got a couple hours before. So then I was like, Tiff, do you want to do our podcast? Well, she ghosted me.
Oh.
So then I'm like, and then you showed up with cookies. I'm like, podcast? And you're like, absolutely. And then Tiffany texts me and said, absolutely, she's ready. So now
you have both of us? Are we coming? Is she coming in?
Well, she's going to come in at 10:15.
I cannot wait to see the girl.
Yeah, she is doing so well. So it's going to be a great day. So a day that seemed like there'd be nothing going on is now
like filled. Great fun.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Well, and I got up at, I ran with the doctor this morning. We did 4 miles in the dark.
Ooh.
So it's already a good day. What are you drinking? You know what I think? You know what I love about you the most? It's just, you're just like, no, you know, who drinks a purple stuff out of a ball jar?
I do.
With the lid.
Me.
I mean, who comes to a podcast with crystal bowls? A bowl of a jar of purple stuff, and then I don't know what is that, moonshine wine or some dandelion wine in the other jar?
Sure, yeah, whatever you say.
Yeah, no, what is that one?
It's fennel and lemon balm.
Who drinks fennel and lemon balm?
I do.
Julie Fisher. I had to get you back on. Well, really, what I wanted to talk about is your podcast. How's your podcast going?
It's struggling.
Well, what?
Why? How come? What's the problem?
Well, podcasts are interesting, right? Because we're putting a lot out there for not a lot of return, right? Huh. Because, you know, our podcast, I mean, we have a following, but we're not like a Joe Rogan or one of these podcasts that are bringing in hundreds of thousands of listens an episode. I mean, we're really pretty local.
Yeah.
And I know even with some of the podcasts I do, you know, they may not be very popular, and it makes it hard sometimes.
Mm.
Do you think that's it, or
no? I love podcasting. What the thing is that honestly, I don't think I've.
This is a safe, honest place.
Thank you.
Do I have my safety pin on?
Where is your safety pin?
This is a safe place.
I need a safe place to express my innermost heart, honey bear heart.
Honey bear.
Here's the thing. My life is like really full right now.
Yes.
And so time gets away from me.
Right.
Which is a terrible answer. But, you know, it's like all of a sudden I realize that, you know, a week has gone by and I haven't been in the studio. And I'm like, oh, no, it happened again. Dang. You know?
That happens.
And I think I'm still trying to find my voice with the podcast and like what it is. And like, so I started season two with kind of a split idea, which was a bad, you know, it's difficult to move forward with two ideas, right?
Yes.
And so the one idea was to have like spiritually deep conversations, just to like be completely unbuttoned. Like, this is who I am. This is what interests me. This is what I want to talk about,
right,
and find other people who wanted to be unbuttoned spiritually as well.
Right.
Right. And then the other part was I really wanted to bring in, So my dad is an interesting character, right?
Right.
And he has what appears to be dementia at the moment. He's living in a facility in Wilmington. And so, my dad used to teach juggling on the beach in the summers.
Wow.
And he used to, he loved to make children laugh. Like, that was his favorite thing. And so there are people in the community who I always heard about growing up who supported my dad, who, like, there's Tim Bamforth, who was, I think he's with Parks and Rec. And I thought it'd be cool to get all these cursory characters who were a big part of my dad mm-hmm. on the podcast.
Yeah.
But you can see how those are two different themes, right?
Well, and that's interesting because when my mom was really sick, actually a little bit prior to my mom becoming unpodcastable, because I actually thought of doing a podcast called Mom, mm-hmm. where people would sit down, you know, me with my mom and just kind of like have that last chat.
Oh, wow.
I mentioned it to some people and everybody was like, oh my God, I want to do this. I want to have my mom on. I want to do it. And mm-hmm. I never got to it because it was going to be a whole nother thing. I couldn't blend it into like this podcast. It couldn't become Rehoboth Social, the mom episode, you know? So, it became a lot. And so I get it. You don't want to let go of that idea.
No.
But you're also like, how can I move forward with both?
Right. And then that's why I was scheduling Nate every other week. Cause then like the off week I was supposed to be bringing in like the dad people.
Nate, so I've noticed Nate around and
a lot. Yeah.
He's I don't really know Nate, but mm-hmm. I really like Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird? Like you don't really know someone, but you really like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like Nate. He's on, what's his Instagram? Do we know? He's something. He's a naked guy, first of all.
Green Shaman, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Or
maybe.
Evergreen Wellness. That's the latest iteration of his.
Check it out. And he was in here the other day, and I go, well, thanks for wearing your clothes, because now I don't have to feel bad about myself again. You know, but he's such a free spirit. I really like that about him. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen him here a few times. So are mm-hmm. you like kind of teaming up with him a little bit?
Yeah.
Is he like coming back off and on?
He is. Because I always have really interesting conversations with Nate. Like he is into stuff that I have never considered or thought of. And he's like, I admire people who go really deep into things mm-hmm. and they can talk about it clearly and articulate it. And So Nate used to be one of my favorite people to sit down and have a cup of coffee with. And I would always walk away changed, and I was always walk away with ideas, like fresh, new, brand new ideas. And I thought it'd be fun to take our more of like a personal friendship and move it into podcast and share it, right? And like
Can we get a little of your bowl? Thank you.
Yes.
You got to keep it calm.
Oh, because I was getting a little excited.
You're like, I'm like, hold, steady now, birdie. Easy.
I got a little excited.
You got a little pumped up.
I got a little excited.
We're going to keep it in a chill mode.
Okay, because we're still waking up.
Right. Well, and listen, I think, you know, Nate kind of, he's like that kind of guy. He gets you like, you know, it's hard to find people to have a great conversation about some things like a spirituality or surrendering or suffering, or because a lot of these kind of words or thoughts, they're like kind of pre-existing, like they're almost like our old insurance, right, with pre-existing conditions. Like you hear the word, you're like, oh. But when you can really have a great conversation, suffering's a great one. You know, you say, oh, you know, I'm not living unless I'm suffering. And people right away think dog that's been hit by a car laying on the side of the road, suffering. And it's a lot more than that. It's that doing the opposite of what self wants, right? We have what we want and then what we have to do. And usually what we have to do, self's like, it's a bad idea, right? So it's suffering.
I don't wanna. No.
Nah. And so depending on the degree of that is how much is the real suffering, right? Because everything other than what we want to do is a bummer. But those are the kind of things to me in spirituality. You know, I feel like there's a lot of people who love to teach it. I can show you. I got it. But to me, spirituality is a byproduct.
Ooh, say more. Byproduct. That is interesting, Tom.
Well, I think it's a, you know, I ran this.
Ooh, that sounded real nice.
Yes. Yeah, are those your poles? Or are you just happy to see me? Da-doom-ps.
I thought you'd be tickled, because that's the word that delights me to say. It's so funny.
Tickled?
Tickled. Because you asked for one bowl, right? I forget what you called it yesterday. You're like, bring the...
big girl?
I don't know. And I was like, wait till he sees I can bring two bowls.
Well, let me finish this thought real quick.
Oh, yes,
because
that's important.
I love these bowls. And, that, you know, I think they're great. But to me, it's always about that, you know, it's just a byproduct. And it's hard to teach. You have to teach something else. You know, like... I learned a lot of this through running. You know, I ran this morning. Running sucks. It's awful. Complete suffering. I mean, I love it. I do it so much. But let's be honest. Most people don't, because it's a drag. It's not easy. But, you know, it's usually, and I'll find it like within a 4-mile run. You know, the first mile, I'm, fuck this. This sucks.
Why am I doing this again?
Why am I doing this again? And then the second mile, it's like, I hate these people. And you start slaying them, you know, you ride in on a horse and shah, shah, sword them up, chop them up. And then the third mile, you're like, I feel bad about what I've done in this first mile. So you start to see the error of your ways, right?
Yes.
And then the fourth mile, you just kind of clean it up and you're like, really, your spirit becomes open. You're not held down by like self-centered fear, you know, like stop running, your legs hurt. It's just this insane thing that goes on during a run. And I feel like that's kind of about, that's kind of, I've used the example before of the bridge on Breakwater Junction Trail. If I run to that bridge, I look over the rail and I'm like, this is beautiful. And I feel like I can do anything. I can be a poet. I can write music. I can do bowls. Ooh, I really rang that one. I could do anything I want. But if I woke up at the bridge and I looked over the rail, I'd be like, yeah, that's pretty. Do we have to walk home? You know, it sits.
Where's my ride?
How am I getting home from here? So, I don't know. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, what are your... Is that too deep? No,
too deep for this one?
In too deep?
No.
A Pearl Jam fan podcast.
Oh.
Sorry.
Gotta plug it.
Plug.
I admire your plugging.
I have no shame in my game.
No.
Do you agree? Spirituality is a byproduct of something else and not to be taught.
Oh, God. Nah. It's
Teach me spirituality.
I...
Here's a better question. Is everybody teachable?
Ooh. Well, it does require... it requires honesty. It requires willingness to be open. Mm. Open-minded, open-hearted. It requires a willingness to... see things differently, a shift in perspective.
So do you think is that another word for surrender?
Absolutely.
Willingness?
Yeah.
It's one we can, that has ketchup on it, right? We can swallow willingness, but surrender, fuck that. I can't take that surrender, but willingness, now I'm open to that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Isn't that funny?
Willingness, openness.
See, I always say nothing changes lives like shame and guilt.
Huh. Okay.
I mean, it's the ultimate ego devastation, right? Mm-hmm. Humiliation, shame and guilt. Shame and guilt show up, devastation, ego devastation. All of a sudden, we become available.
Ooh, we do. That's when we stop relying on ourselves and become willing to.
Well, I always use addiction's a great example. You know, I was watching Live Rescue last night for some reason, and this drunk guy was. Handcuffed, bleeding, cut. on the curb. Cops obviously had to get involved because he was drunk and he was being an asshole. And he was continuing to be, fuck yeah, screaming at these people. They're trying to help him. He's cut. Get out of my face. And I go, tomorrow morning, that guy is going to want to wake up and do one thing. Apologize. Day before, no problems. No, you know, I drink because the way I drink is fine, blah, blah, blah. Next morning after this event, I think I need to make an apology. I mean, he'll probably show up at the precinct with some cake. This is how bad he's going to feel. Right? I am so sorry. But it's like shame and guilt all of a sudden opens a door for change. And, you know, I've been involved with recovery for a long time. And it's always around Christmas. You know, these Christmas parties that these people get exposed. And they, you know, it's always somebody during the year grabs some ass or says something to a woman, and it all, I don't know if you remember, it was a few years back, but there was a high up in one of the local towns, I forget, a commissioner or something, and he grabbed a woman's boob, breast, at a Christmas party, and was arrested, drunk, and I remember it was like 2 days later he showed up at a meeting. Now he's ready to take a look at his behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
But up until that point, he was fine.
Oh, totally fine. So,
So I always say, like, shame and guilt finally opens up our ability to be spiritual.
Addiction is a wonderful way to exhaust all the options until all you have left is a spiritual one.
Right.
Which is pretty dang cool.
Well, it's just, I mean,
I think
addiction.
I like how it works.
And, you know, addiction's funny because we think, oh, addiction, you mean to crack, heroin, pot. But addiction runs through all of us. Well, it's just that donuts don't get us put in jail. Right? You know, like, oh, I can eat this donut. I'm not going to jail. But
it's not an illegal substance.
Right. It's you know, my addiction really didn't show itself until I, like, couldn't do all the fun things that I like to do and was left with one thing that I could do, which was drink because it was legal. And then that's when my really dive into drinking heavily showed up. But, you know, whatever it was I needed to do to get out of that rut. But a lot of people, they're like, well, I just eat too much. I mean, if it's a food addiction or a money addiction or, you know, God forbid the sex stuff. But we don't see all those as much as like we do when you drink too much and then you fall on the ground. You're like, oh, well, that guy's got an addiction problem.
Right. You show up on a TV show.
Live rescue. Assholes. Come on, bro. You'll feel different in the morning. I've been that way. I've been that much out of my mind because I was drinking. Everybody's an asshole. Yelling at everybody, and the next day just, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's why I do a podcast. I'm sorry about last night. It's that day after.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts.
Well, let's see. What do I want to say about that?
I really put a lot on your plate.
You did, and it's like, where do I start? There are so many places.
Well, I think maybe spirituality. I mean,
like, how did I? I feel like I was born this way.
Yeah.
I mean, I was interested in spirituality from a very young age, very young. And I remember asking my mom some really tough questions and not being satisfied by the answers at all.
Right.
And as I got older, I noticed that was something that's what I craved out of social interactions, were deep conversations. And so those also happened with drinking or with other things, right? Like two people would kind of squirrel off and have a deep, like not hook up, but like have deep conversations. Right. Like that's what I longed for. That's what I wanted. And so as I got older, then I learned different ways to seek it out, right? But here's the thing about spirituality is it is a great... it's a great circus, and there's a tremendous amount of misinformation and snake oil, and there's a lot to be avoided, right? There's a lot of stuff that isn't true that's right. Being taught, and I don't know how I got so lucky to continue on through that and have the awakening experiences that I have had that. and the teachers that I have had that have been really clear. And
do you think that it's about, do we have to be at a certain age in our lives, or do you think we can be?
I don't think so.
You think that we, I know for me, like I had to kind of experience a lot of weird stuff
mm-hmm.
and really struggle with like ego and suffer mm-hmm. from the behaviors of ego to start to understand how much that is a role in my life. Ego, I call it self, you know. But it wasn't like I couldn't quite get the message 10 years ago or, you know, 15 years ago. It was like, how can I get away with doing what I want to do?
Yeah, which is honest.
Which is honest, but it's not spiritual. It's self. Right? But I mean, it's like being an avocado, right? And for a long time, you're very hard. You're bright. You're hard. You're not edible. You're just almost, you're one level lower than a rock, right? And then this small window opens up and this beautiful rock turns into this delicious edible, one of the most beautiful vegetables. Is it a fruit?
Yeah, because
one of the most beautiful fruits. There's nothing like cutting open a ripe, beautiful avocado.
Uh-huh.
But that window is very small, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just glorious. But after too long, couple days and not so good. Brown spots start showing up. So it's like life, you know, and I feel like this is just that kind of that point where I'm like, I'm available for the message. I'm going to start to digress soon, like all of our parents have done. We become kind of grumpy, and we've seen it all. But right now, I'm just like...
Are you a ripe avocado?
I'm ripe, bro.
I love it.
Dig in! But it is funny about avocados. I mean, you have an avocado, a perfect one, and then the next day it's not.
Oh, man.
It's that
quick.
Have
you seen that meme where it's like, not yet, not yet, not yet, right now? Too late.
Yeah. Damn it. Missed it. Well, I said now they're selling avocados with like 5 days of different, like one's one day older than the next and the next. So when you buy it, ideally, according to them, one should be ripe every day for the next 5 days.
That's cool.
It doesn't work.
Dang it.
Damn it. But I guess the question is, you think we're available for a spiritual awakening?
I do.
All through our life?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's the truth of who we are. And even though we believe that we're this, here's something that I've learned that's been really helpful. And the first, what it is, you learn what the hallmarks of truth are,
mm-hmm.
or love are. Yes. So the hallmarks are they're simple, they're readily available, they're ever present. They're complete. They're already satisfied, whole,
mm-hmm.
love, peace, content. I feel like I'm repeating myself. So, like, once you become familiar with, like, what the hallmarks are, and then you use that as your measuring stick. So when anything that shows up that's not those things, you can instantly be wary of it.
Right.
And say...
So that's what they call hallmarks?
No, this is what I come... This is what I...
Call hallmarks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just, like... The act of love or being in love is a hallmark
of love itself, of life, truth. Yeah, because it's a three part. It's
I don't even know if I know what love is.
Isn't that cool?
That's
a good place to start. Actually, that will open up a tremendous amount of doors. That's something I've been exploring the past year.
I know
is
what
that question.
I know what I've been taught.
Yeah,
and I know what I've been taught to say.
Yeah,
and I know what I've been taught when to say it, but I don't know if I really know what it means.
That's so cool. Are you open to that? Are you open to knowing what love is?
Yeah. What is love? I want to know what love is.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I don't know if it's important because I'm not like feeling, oh. Because I mean, I'll tell everybody I love them. I love you. You know, but I'm not sure. There's nothing weirder to me than when somebody that like doesn't really know me tells me they love me.
I know. It feels funny, doesn't it?
Because you don't want to be like a hypocrite.
Right. Like, did I do something?
Yeah, like.
Did I lead them on?
Maybe there's like two levels of love. Like, I love you. Hey, I love you. And then there's like, I love you. What do you think?
And then there's true love, which is impersonal.
Yeah.
It's like the sun. It shines on everyone equally, regardless of how they feel about themselves or the actions.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you think it's easier if you love somebody to let them go? Because I know, like, you're going through some stuff with your father. You know, my mom just passed away. And people, my mom died 3 weeks ago today.
Oh.
Did you know that? I told you yesterday.
Today, you didn't say it was 3 weeks today.
Well, it was yesterday when I told you, so it wasn't today yet. But it was today. I think I said, as of tomorrow, it'll be 3 weeks, but...
I was still floored that I'd missed that completely.
Yeah, it's fine, but people are like really like, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, I'm good. I'm really good. I was able to put a lot of effort and time and spend a lot of time with my mom, with both my parents, because I feel like in their 80s, the end's coming, right? I mean, I don't want a 100-year-old mother. That's a rough path. But, you know, so it was like, let's get over there for every Sunday. Let's make them breakfast. Let's really spend some time. My dad and I used to fight a lot. At one point, I said, listen, we got a little time left. Let's not fight. Let's surrender to this nonsense that him and I have always had. And we have, and we've been able to have a great relationship since that decision. So when my mom passed, we really made I had spent a lot of effort letting her know. Not that I needed to, but, you know, just to wrap it up. And then the COVID thing, and then she was put in a home, and so that was unfortunately nothing that I could control. But she passed, and I'm like very, you know, my buddy Matt used to say, you get 2 days to mourn everything after that, and you're making it about yourself. And I was like, oh, that's a little harsh, isn't it, Matt? I mean, 2 days? Can we get like three? Or? But I get it, you know, because... Honestly, to me, it's a celebration, right? She's gone to another place, a better place. She's free from that broken down car she had, that broken down brain car that she had. And now she's free, and it's a blessing. So it's nothing. 3 weeks later, I shouldn't be mourning about it, right?
Well, I find for me personally, grief, it takes a while to unfold. Like, I lost my uncle 4 years ago, and still, every now and then, just out of the blue, like, I will miss him and I will cry. And it just, like, and it passes, right? It's fleeting. Right. And...
Were you close with your uncle?
He was a great guy. He was a really good guy.
Because my uncle, he could die today and I'd be fine.
And it was also sudden. We weren't expecting. It was, like, it was really out of the blue. And he was only in his 60s and we thought we had him for... you know, till his 80s.
Right.
It's just completely unexpected. And so it was a shock to the family.
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah. And then so with, like, dealing with my dad, it's so funny because with where he is now, he seems to be fully in the present moment. And when we talk to him about, does he remember things? It doesn't really connect. And right. So it's making him feel loved. Making him feel loved in that little time, that little window of time that we get with him each week.
Yeah. Do you get to go visit him?
Yeah, I saw him yesterday. But
and
we
he's
got
in a
half
home,
hour.
Right?
Mm-hmm. He is.
See, they wouldn't let us come visit. But they're like, hey, your mom passed away. Do you want to come see her before we take her away? Oh, now we can visit?
Oh, wow.
I'm like, it's a little late, bro.
Mister.
Excuse me.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think those things get to have a rule around them, honestly. I think they unfold as they unfold.
Well, that's my first, and it's so weird because I, at like 8, 7, 6 years old, used to be in such fear of my mom dying.
Oh, yeah.
I used to go and crawl down the hall and sit by their door and cry. And my mom would eventually come out. What's the matter? I don't want you to die. She'd be like, oh my God, I'm not dying. Get in the freaking bed. But it was always this big anxiety fear that I had of losing her. I don't know if it was because I was adopted. I mean, I never made this like, you know, thought out loud. Like, I'm adopted, so I'm worried about my mom. I don't know what that was about, but it was like this fear. So, but as I got older and as my mom's life changed, my fear became her continuing to live like this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, the relationship with my father and mother, you know, the commitment that they had to one another, you know, it was heartbreaking for my dad, you know, because he probably felt like he fell short on, they probably had a deal. Listen, Gene, I'll never put you in a home.
Oh, yeah.
And then it happened. And he's like, I can't take care of her. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, we're maybe we can, you know, do it together. He's like, I can't. Can't. So I think he was guilty with that. Mm-hmm. And so honestly, her passing, you know, he's starting to come back a little bit, mm-hmm. which is good because mm-hmm. I didn't want to lose. And my mom, you know, she wouldn't have wanted this for my, for, she wouldn't want any of this. Mm-mm. Don't worry about me. Well, we can't not worry about you, Mom. I mean, I know. It's like, I feel like no one's worrying about me. Okay, we're back. But, you know, it was tough. Aww. It was tough. So, yeah, I felt like it was weird to hear the words your mom passed, but a couple days, and I'm like, you know, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so, just, you know, a lot of gratitude to have such a wonderful lady in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it sounds like you got to say goodbye.
Yeah, we did. I actually talked to her the day before, but she was out of it. I mean, she just was like, oh. Like, I had called the day before, and they're like, we can't even get her to take the phone. I was like, oh, boy. The next day I called, and I talked to her, and then she passed the next day, which was, you know, it was mm-hmm. cool, mm-hmm. but it's still a bummer. Mm-hmm. Miss old Jeannie. Oh. Grandma Jean.
Yeah.
But what do you, I mean, how do you handle that with your dad? I mean, it's cool that you get to see him.
Mm-hmm. It is.
He knows.
I don't know. He knows my name anymore.
Right.
He knows who. He knows that I'm someone special in his life.
Keeps showing up.
Uh huh.
That's cool.
I can see it in his eyes. But even the eyes have changed, and he looks more and more like his dad.
That's a trip, right?
Which is strange because my dad was always super fit. Oh, like ran every day. He was a runner.
Well, you know, the other thing is it's like we change our, we start becoming, I mean, we're still always a son or daughter, right? But we start becoming this other thing. I mean, at our 50s, the role that our parents played in our lives, you know, fixing, changing, helping, you know, now we're just like a friend mm-hmm. or someone that just, you know, cares. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's kind of cool.
It is.
I know that I'm realizing that more and more with my dad. You know, up until this point, he was just my dad. And yeah, we argued and screw him. But now it's like he's an old guy that needs, I got to take care of him.
It is interesting. I'm experiencing that role reversal with my mom.
Yeah.
And things so simple as she hangs out in the kitchen and like watches me cook, prepare dinner for her.
That's cool. Well, what a gift, right?
It's
to
really
give
sweet.
Back like that.
I mean, this has been a gift. And the time that I've had with my mom has been precious. Mm. And I've gotten to know her more as a person. And, oh, can I tell you a story
sure.
that I had? I had a really sweet realization around my mom. So I came back to Delaware, I guess, 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, being an adult in my 40s, I would go out and have a life, you know, at night. And I would come home.
Nightlife.
Nightlife. And I would come home and she would be waiting up for me.
Ooh.
And I would be like, and I would feel bad because here's the thing about me, as I have a hard time sticking to a schedule because I like freedom is a core value for me, absolute core. So I like to be able to like follow my inspiration, like, oh, that looks cool. I'm going to do that. And so when I come home after an adventure and my mom's waiting up for me and I know her bedtime's like around 8:39, I feel bad because the belief is like she's keeping up. I'm keeping her up
she's
later than normally.
She's worrying that you're in a ditch.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's also like, I've been an adult for how long and I've come home by myself successfully. And I'm not out necessarily drinking or anything because I don't drink. I can't.
I didn't imply
partying or anything. I just want to be clear for the listeners.
LSD,
you know?
Maybe, but not drinking.
No, I can't handle this stuff. But anyway, just out, just doing whatever it is that I do. And it would like, I would be annoyed. And the other day, and then this happened recently. She was staying with me just a couple weeks ago. And I was coming back from a meeting. And I was annoyed that she was up and she had all the candles lit. And I was like, good night, Mom. You know, I'm just going to go to bed now. And then, so like a couple weeks later, I was in a meditation and it hit me that what she was doing was actually a tremendous act of love. And I saw it clearly and I cried and I was just like, oh my gosh, I had been seeing that incorrectly all of this time. Like every single time that she waited up for me was out of love. And I called her and I said, Mom, I recognize it now. I realize that every time you waited up for me, it was because you love me. And she said, why, yes, of course. Like, I wanted to just make sure that you got home safely because I love you. And this is the marriage that she had with my dad. My dad would wait up. And she said, I always hated it when your ex-husband didn't wait for you. Because I used to live in Brooklyn and I used to do these really late shifts. I used to be a coat check girl at Gramercy Tavern. And I would come home really late at night with cash on the train, on the subway. And she hated that Matt didn't greet me at the subway station. She was like, you know, your dad, he would have waited for me. He would have gone to the station and made sure. Right. And because that's the, and I was like, wow, well, now I know how to pick the next guy.
Yeah. Well,
you know, like, and of course it was emotional for me. And I was like, Mom, I hope, I'm so grateful for this time that we have together. And I hope that I get to experience, I hope I get one more shot of you waiting up for me so that I can receive the love that you've.
Well, and I like how you said that. I hope I get to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a, especially with what we've been going through, the COVID, the election, the riots, you know, just the chaos, you know, it's created a lot of anxiety and stress, and especially like with my father. And one of the things that he would say is like, I have to go do this for your mother, or I have to send a check, or I have to go and visit, or I have to do this and I have to do that. And I was like, I go, you know, Dad, you get to do that. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
If everything you consider is something that you have to do, it's going to be miserable. But until you realize that being available for Mom, having the money to pay for her to be in the home, getting to do these things. You know, it's funny, people will save money to retire. But if retirement doesn't look like the picture that they had planned, then it's just a pain in the ass. Now, it's like a big inconvenience. And I'm like, yeah, maybe you had a different plan, but this is how it turned out. Mm-hmm. And so you get to do this for Mom. Mm-hmm. And if you think of it in that manner, that it's something that you get to do, a gift, a choice, then it's like, feel good. But when you have to, it's an inconvenience. And if he lives his life with the have to's and not the get to's, he's going to be a lot of boo-hoo.
And you just...
Cheers.
Yay, Tom, because you just brought up two really huge, huge points in spirituality. And that is that willingness to shift the perspective, right? From the have to the get to. That's everything.
That's right.
And that's something that I learned.
It's called surrender.
It is.
And unfortunately, life is very simple.
What do you mean, unfortunately? Isn't it great that it's so simple? That is a fabulous thing that life is simple.
Well, because we could write books with thousands and thousands of pages, but really in the end, it's about one word.
Chuck them over your shoulder.
Right,
yeah, it's
one word.
It's very simple.
Surrender. That's why they made 50,000 other words that mean the same thing, because people don't like surrender.
Surrender is a beautiful thing. And one of my favorite podcasts that I did from season one is when I had Danielle first come on, and she tells her story of surrender.
I love Danny.
And did you listen to that podcast?
Of course.
And she told the story.
I don't know. But I've known Danny a long time.
That story of surrender blew me away. I had friends calling me in tears after listening to that, like in a good way. But then the second thing, back to your profound statement a few minutes ago.
I had one.
You did. I recognize the hallmarks. So you pointed to the shift in perspective. And the second one was, oh my God, it just left me.
Well, and you know, the surrender usually happens right around when the avocado is most ripe.
It's yielding to its perfection.
That's right. We become available for the idea.
The second thing, that is a beauty. And this has been my lesson of COVID is things don't look the way that I expected them to.
Right.
But it's so cool to have an open mind and around that, because what I'm realizing is that my dream life, everything that I ever wanted has been here, is here right now, has always been. It's just a matter of having the eyes to recognize it.
Can I tell you a story?
And it doesn't look anything like what I hoped, but here it is. And I have the eyes to see
Can
now.
I tell you a story?
Of
it's
course.
Just like a little quick story.
Of
so, and it's a story that's been told. So if you've heard it, just bear with me. But I love this story. So this man is at his house. This guy pulls up on a bike and he says, "Man, it's going to rain and flood. Get out of the house." The guy says, "Listen, I love the Lord. He's going to take care of me." The guy says, "All right." Rolls off on his bike. The rain starts. Dude pulls up in a boat. "Oh, man, get in the boat. It's going to rain, flood, kill you. Lord loves me. I believe in the Lord and he'll take care of me." Okay. Paddles away. Water's up to the roof, right? Helicopter flies over. "Oh, man, take the ladder. It's flooding. You're going to get swept away and die." I says, "I love the Lord. He's going to take care of me. I believe it." Helicopter flies away. Fucking house gets washed away. Old man's dead. Goes to heaven. He says, "I want to see the Lord." Lord says, "What can I do for you?" And he goes, "Lord, I've loved you. I believe in you. I've done everything you've asked of me. Why did you let me die?" And he goes, "I sent you a fucking bike, a boat, and a helicopter. What are you doing here?" And that's like what you just said. It's being available to see.
It's right here.
The message.
It's always here. It cannot not be here. It's always here.
Right.
It's just a matter of recognizing it.
Well, and I think we learn a lot of stuff from things that are really inconvenient.
Like what?
Just like taking care of our parents, you know, being available. I mean, that's not in my schedule. I mean, our lives are a little different. You know, I have three kids, you know, everything that I do. And you know, like today, my dad wants to have lunch. And I'm like, he actually is like, do you want to help me pick out the urn for your mother? And I'm like, I go, you can take care of it, Dad. I think you should be involved. I go, okay, all right. You know, but I know you're busy. So I'm like, okay, so we're going to have lunch today to pick out the urn, which is great. But I was reluctant because I didn't want to make it a thing for him. Like another thing that I would forget. You forget everything, Tommy. Like, oh, geez. You know, so I was trying to be protective, but it's a pain in the ass to take care of him, right? It's an inconvenience, but it's where we learn to surrender. We learn patience. We learn acceptance. We learn, you know, how grateful we are, hopefully, in our stories, that how grateful we are and how lucky we are to have had parents. Because I was adopted. My original parents, they didn't want me for whatever reason. I don't think it was a bad one. I think they were just young, but they had to make that choice. So my parents picked me. So they took me without even, you know, birthing me. So I feel like it was even worse for them. But, you know, it's just, so what I guess what I'm saying is it's these times of inconvenience and challenges that really there's a lot of humbling moments.
There are. And opportunities for great beauty.
That's right.
Yep.
All right. Welcome back. Well, it's a, it is a great topic, surrendering. I still believe that I don't think I was available for this sort of surrendering and really this hard look at myself and the role that I've played in other people's lives. I don't think I was available to look at that until now in my 50s, you know, because, you know, there's this life, you know, this early life, the fun life, right? When we had all the fun and I still remember that life. And then there's this life of, like, for me with kids or business. And, you know, for a long time, I had a foot in both worlds, right? You know, like, I got to take care of my kids, but I still want to have fun. I got to take care of my kids, but I still want to have fun. But at some point, I said, I surrender. I'm giving up the fun life, and I'm giving up this other life. And the life is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is that's in front of me today,
mm-hmm.
and just take care of it and handle it with the best attitude I can.
Yeah, there right? it is.
But I'm ready to be made into guacamole, I think. I'm ripe. My maturity is ripe.
And you are. Look, I mean, you created this whole podcast network.
Well, I mean, I got some keys, but you girls and guys have done the podcasting. I mean, this is something that we've all done together. I just got us keys.
I think, but see, guacamole requires other
salt,
vegetables,
pepper.
Yeah, you gotta put the
jalapeno in the guacamole,
and the garlic.
Well, I
and the onion and the cilantro.
The podcast business is funny. What I love about our podcast and our network is we do it because we like doing the podcast.
Hold on there. I feel like I just missed the point, though, about you becoming guacamole. There's something deeper there that you want to share.
No, I'm just saying that at 52, I'm ripe.
Yeah. What is it? Like, what does Tom's guacamole look like? Like, what does it feel like? What is it? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Well, my guacamole looks like a guy that says, you know, instead of like fighting with my father, I say, listen, why don't we not fight? Uh-huh. Let's try to make the best of what we have left.
Uh-huh.
You know, I guess it's what my guacamole looks like, a lot of surrendering my ego.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of things that I think are right. You know, the election. So not only is my dad 82, but we went through one of the bizarrest elections ever. We've been going through COVID, and my mother died. So there's a lot of opportunity for opinions. And there's an 82-year-old opinion, and there's a 52-year-old opinion, right? And they don't usually line up, so there's a lot of opportunity for some fighting. But I've surrendered. I gave up. I said, I'm not fighting with you anymore. I said, but, oh. We had a big blowout on the election night because the election, I guess. But he actually called me. You know, he's like, do you want me to tell you the story real quick? I mean, I guess I'll have to. So I voted for Biden. My wife voted for Trump because we were just going to equal ourselves out because I didn't know who to vote for. I was kind of Trumpish, but I couldn't do it. So, but my daughter's like, do not vote for Biden. No, do not vote for Trump, Daddy. And so I go, okay, fine. So I voted for Biden. And then my dad came over for dinner because on top of all this, I've been having my dad over to the house 3 days a week and feeding him, which is awesome. But, mm-hmm. You know, he's always there. And she goes, my daddy voted for Biden. Runs off. And he's like, oh, because he's a total Trump supporter. And we were supposed to go out to dinner that following Saturday. And I go, so what time are we going? I'm not going. I'm like, what? What happened? I don't want to talk about it. And so I go, Dad, because I could hear her tell him. And I knew shit was going to hit the fan. So I said, Dad, listen. I said, I voted for Trump. I just told Teresa that I voted for Biden because they really hated Trump. Oh, okay. So he was fine. I salvaged the night, right? He calls me the next day. Did you lie to me yesterday when you told me that you... And I go, yes, I did. I did. Liar! You're a liar! He goes, if you ever lie to me again, you're out of the family. And I'm like, what family? We're the family now. You're the last, you know, everybody's gone. You can't kick us out of a one-man band. Liar! He was so fucking pissed. And I'm like, geez, I'm sorry. And I'm like, it's a Santa lie. You know, I mean, you told me that Santa existed, right? When I was, you lied.
It's a Santa lie.
So he hung up on me. And then he called a couple days later. He's like, I'm sorry. He goes, you have the right to vote for whoever you want. And I'm like, thank you. So, I don't know what the point of me telling you that was. It's just, it's very challenging.
It was a wonderful story.
My dad's very challenging.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
A lot of surrender. I mean, white flags are flying. I'm flying my white freak flag. So, where were we before you sidetracked me on my guacamole again?
Well, no, I just felt like there was something else in there. Like there, I felt like I derailed you slightly by bringing up the network. And so that's why I aborted mission and brought back to...
No, one day I was buying groceries and I'm like, you know, my life is like this freaking guacamole. You know, there's just this point where you just... I've kind of kicked and screamed and kicked and screamed, and then all of a sudden you just kind of are like ripe, you know? And then I look at my father, who is very cynical. He's seen it all. He's experienced everything. You know, oh, this is just this. Oh, this is just something. This is what they used to do. It's like, so I'm just headed there. I feel it a little bit. Sometimes I'll go into these lectures and to my kids, they're like rolling their eyes, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, stop. I don't even want to do that. So, but I feel my ripeness is ending. You know, it's going to, I'm going to start to get brown and bruised.
No.
Brown and bruised and beat up and squishy.
No.
But anyway, the network has been, it's great. I'm so excited that we have it. But, you know, people are passionate about doing the podcast. Someone was like, you know, it's always about money. What kind of money? What kind of money? And I go, we don't make any money. We don't make any money. We do it all for free. And I think that one day we'll end up creating maybe a revenue stream for somebody or someone that's in the network. But you have to do it for the love. You cannot do it for the money. Right?
Especially since
we don't make any.
It's just pure fun.
It's just fun.
And I think that's something that as an adult I need. I need pure fun.
Right. Well, and I think that, you know, we have some of us have experiences. There was a time when I went through some shit. I think it was a divorce. And I was just, I was at the bottom. Just at this place, you know. And I remember going down to the Rehoboth Library and just looking for a book that was going to fix it for me. It was going to answer everything that I was going through. The book didn't exist. I mean, I'm reading spiritual, you know, shaman books, and I'm like, blah. And I actually knew what my problem was. You know, sometimes we know it. We just don't want to take a look at it. But I just remembered, like, trying to find the answer. So to see, like, you and Tara and, you know, doing these spiritual and Jenna, these spirituals, recovery, trauma, you know, it's just good stuff because there are people out there that are, especially right now, people out there are really, if you don't understand about like this kind of stuff, you can really feel pretty fucked up right now. If you don't understand that really what's going on right now is we're just not getting our way.
Yeah, Tom.
But I mean, it's that simple.
It is.
We're not getting our way, and that's fine. But you just have to be able to see that.
It's the greatest gift ever. I love 2020. It's been the best year of my life.
It has. There's a lot of growth, and I think what it's done is exposed that a lot of people live for or are motivated truly by money and power and greed. And I think that this whole thing is exposed that it's pretty fragile and it can be taken away. And in the end, we're not getting what we want. And now we're full of fear. And then there's this other group of people that have taken jobs doing stuff because they just kind of got in line with the rest of the ducks and they're learning they don't like doing it. So I talked to a girl the other day. She wants to come on the podcast. She wants to do a podcast. She wants to sell her business and she wants to come and do life coaching and do a podcast on the network.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, wow, that's a lot. But she's in this place where she's realizing she doesn't really enjoy doing what she does. Mm-hmm. And I guess she wants to help people.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Hope we can make some money for her. Better make the money. Well, she, you know, she's going to, that's a big leap. So, you know, but I told her, hey, whatever I can do to help you, we'll do it.
You are very generous.
Yep. I surrendered. I've given up. Take my stuff. Did you bring any cookies?
I brought you cookies yesterday.
I know.
I would have been really late if I had stopped to get you more cookies. Yes. How were those cookies?
I haven't eaten them yet.
What?
They're in the bag.
Oh, no.
My son's guarding them right now.
Oh, you're not allowed to eat the cookies?
Huh?
What?
No, I'm on my way to the studio and my ex-wife calls, Sam doesn't feel well. I'm like, really? So he's at the salon in the back room watching TV. I go, do you not feel well or you just need a day off from school? I don't feel well. I go, okay.
He needs a day off from school.
Yeah, so he's chilling back there. And the cookies are in the room and he is a huge chocolate chip cookie fan. So I'm hoping that he refrains.
Oh.
But, you know, it's a
well,
test.
Well, you know, here's the thing is she is guaranteed to make more. She is a chocolate chip baking.
You brought me some cookies the other day, and I don't think, I think you bought those, didn't you?
Those are from The Point.
Yeah,
you said you really like those.
I like them, but they have some chocolate chunk. They're a little heavy on the chocolate.
Oh.
There's like squares of chocolate.
Oh, they're making them different now.
Yeah.
They've gone off the deep end with the cookies.
Listen, they're gone. They were great, but.
Okay.
And I saw the ones your mom made. I'm like, these look like a little light on the chocolate. That's I prefer a lighter chocolatey chip.
Well, then.
Don't get crazy. Don't start counting the chips.
Well, then.
I've got to go.
I mean, this has been a lifelong quest because I grew up with a mom who makes really good chocolate chip cookies. And yeah. So it's kind of been a lifelong love, I guess. And
did your mom ever put walnuts in them?
No, which she does. She does really well. She puts pecans in and then mini chocolate chips. And that is freaking... I actually asked for a batch of that.
Okay,
so she makes...
On. See how that can... That happen.
I'll bring you that. Walnuts, no. She puts, no.
My mom used to always make these chocolate chips cookies with walnuts. And they were good, but there was this gnarly, giant chocolate chip cookie. And I never was a big fan. I mean, I'd eat them, but somehow she got in this kick with those walnuts.
Mm.
When I was working in Easton, Maryland, there on this golf course, there was a pecan tree. And the pecans would fall all over the ground behind the green, the number 10 green.
Would you be like a little squirrel? Like,
I'd bag them up. And I had pliers and I would crack them open. And I put on like 10 pounds eating these freaking fresh pecans. Oh.
Pecans and macadamia nuts.
Well, and there's a version of the pecan that's not quite. I don't even know what you do with pecans. Do you toast them? Do you roast them? Do they just dry out to this perfect?
I don't know.
But you would kind of get them and they would still be a little raw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're really... Are you cold?
No, I just knocked my jacket off.
Okay.
No coats on the floor.
No. I was going to say the heater's over there if you want to turn it on.
Oh. No, that'll create a fan.
But they were so, I mean, delicious. Fresh pecans out of a tree, they're amazing.
I've never had such a thing.
I had a whole bag of them in my golf cart.
Is this tree still there in Easton on the golf course?
There's a pecan tree on the Breakwater Trail. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of them. Have you ever walked the trail?
Yes, but I'm usually on my bike, so that's.
So where do you park? Do you park down like a Wolfneck Road?
No, I usually ride my bike from town.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you go past the outlet?
Oh yeah, I go to, was it Senators? Is that where it ends?
Right.
Okay.
So if you're coming, you know, there's that. Actually, you know what? When you're riding your bike, just look at the ground because you can see all the broken pecan shells from the squirrels and.
Okay.
They just. Getting busy on them.
I bet they are. Yeah. I saw a fat squirrel the other day, man. It was ready for winter.
There's a cool place back there. There's a one spot where it kind of makes that, you kind of come out of the woods tunnel, and then it kind of bears to the right, and then bears to the left, and then down, bears to the right, and then through the woods, and then over the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But that first big left, there's a trail that goes straight back in the corner of that turn that goes straight back. Yeah. Have you ever been back there?
Oh, yeah.
That's
I'm
like
an off-road girl.
That's a cool place. And it's like this old trail. There's an old giant tank back there that's all rusty. I think maybe homeless people lived in it, but there's a lot of cool stuff back there.
There is. I know, it's quite a wonderland where we live.
How long have you lived here?
Well, I was born in Milford.
Right.
But I didn't understand the wonderlandness.
The woodliness?
The wonderlandness. This is a new revelation.
See, that to me would have been a great place to like go as a teenager and like, you know, smoke a joint.
You know, like my sister used to have, they used to do parties in corn fields, I think. And my friends didn't do that. We were like, we would ride our cars around the plaza in Milford. That was our big excitement. Or like back, I would like love to explore all the back roads. When I turned 16, game on.
Right.
I was all over these roads. Never partied in a cornfield or a soy patch. I was like a soybean.
Well, back in those days, the cops probably would join in. And then at some point, they're like, I guess we got to start breaking these parties up.
I mean, she could come back. Like, her car would be, like, full of debris from the field.
Corn husk and rain antlers.
And, like, sprays of mud. And she just had a citation, you know? Like,
that's funny. You had a citation?
She did, yeah.
Who's she?
My older sister.
Because we had a citation.
Yeah. It was white with a blue panel on the bottom.
Ours was brown. It was. Is that the hideous, most hideous car ever existed?
It was one of them.
Did you have the hatchback? Or the four, or the sedan?
I'm trying to remember what she had. I think it was a two-door.
Oh, man, that was... I can't believe they made cars that ugly. I mean, what in God's name were they thinking? We beat the hell out of that car. That car... I think my dad had to pay someone to take that car when it was done.
I don't remember what happened to hers.
Had the sideways radio.
Give up.
Remember that?
I remember the gear shift in the middle, but I didn't get very many invites with her in that car.
No.
She's a different world.
She was probably the coolest kid, but then looking back, the Citation was a beast. Front wheel drive beast. Really? That's back when they were selling Hyundais for 2-for-1. Remember that?
No.
They must have only done that in Albuquerque, because when I lived in Albuquerque, they were selling Hyundais when the Hyundai came out, 2-for-1. Two cars for the price of one. It's the same time around when Pizza showed up.
Oh, Dom Dom.
Domino's. Little Caesars. Little Caesars.
I know. I used to call that guy Dom Dom because he said pizza.
Pizza.
Actually, I had a manager who reminded me of that, and I called him Dom Dom. Little Caesar guy. Oh, yeah.
Someone was at, I was talking to Carlos yesterday, and he said that Amy was at a spiritual thing with Julie Fisher.
I know. I'd like to invite you to come. Would you be willing to come? Okay, here's what I had in mind for you, Tom.
Okay.
Because I know, how are you? Okay, okay, so
get it out.
I know, because I feel like I've pigeonholed you a little bit just based on conversations you've had of floating, and being able to make it to a certain point and then you're done.
Right.
So I was gonna invite you to hear sound in these hammocks and just say, Tom, whenever you're done, you can just get up and leave. Like, you don't have to stay for the whole thing.
Okay.
Is that something?
Where does this take place?
At Heartwish, underneath Starbucks, underneath Culture Pearl.
Heartwish, underneath Starbucks, underneath Culture Pearl.
In Town Rehoboth, on the avenue.
Is that, what's that, on Lead? No.
Avenue across from Dogfish Head.
I know, but what's the street name?
Fourth? Is it Fourth?
No, it's not Fourth. It's,
It's Fourth.
No, it's where Bad Hair Day's on. It's the same road as Bad Hair Day.
Oh, that road.
Same road, right?
Yeah, like the diagonal that cuts.
Oh, I know. Oh, I see what you're saying. You were talking about behind the road that goes behind it.
Uh-huh. Where there's that second entrance.
So they got hammocks hanging in there?
They have silk aerial hammocks in there.
Oh my God.
And so it's really beautiful because people can just lay in their hammocks and then I do what I do. And it's really nice.
I would love to. It's hard for me to say yes, because honestly my wife would be like, "So you're going to leave in me to go hang in a hammock to listen to a girl do sound bowls."
Why can't she come?
That's a good idea. I'd love that. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe if we can get her talk her into it.
Okay.
She's a little close-minded on some things.
Well, here's the thing. If I give you both license to leave whenever you want, you're not, like, stuck there. You don't have to stay for the whole thing. Right. That's maybe a little bit
I
more
wanna
palatable.
I
want to
do it. When do you do it? Tell me the days.
I have one coming up this Friday at 6 that I have hammocks.
Okay.
Available. And then Sunday, usually it's Sunday at 4, but that's fully booked as of now.
Right. So Friday at 6 will be tough because I have to, we have my dad over for dinner on Fridays.
Lovely. Are Sundays at 4 a good time or is that family time?
I don't know. I feel like I don't have a very good answer.
Wednesdays?
I feel like I'm falling short. I want to go.
I also thought it'd be fun to have.
I'm not getting what I want.
I did one for the podcasters and y'all came in.
I think it's a great idea. I love the idea.
We just need to find a day then when everybody can come.
Sunday would be probably the day I would be able to go because that would be the day that Christine is not working and maybe we can come and do it together.
Okay. So So this Sunday's fully booked, but the next Sunday I can put you in.
I'll ask her.
Okay.
And I definitely want to try it.
Sweet. I'm so happy.
Yeah. Oh.
The people who love sound, it's their favorite experience because there are no pressure points. Because normally people lay on yoga mats, which I don't approve of. I do not approve of sound on yoga mats because they're too hard.
Right.
You need sheepskin or pillows or a blow-up mattress. Or
water. Have you been floating?
A podcast, a float, yes. Yeah, I got back. I have reconnected with floating. I love floating.
Yeah.
Floating's glorious.
Talk about
surrender.
I just haven't been able to get over there. I got floats and everything. I just haven't been able to get over there. Well, I'm the guy that's like, I'll float. Yeah, at 6:30 in the morning, but they're not open then. No, they open at like 9, and I'm like, phew.
I'm deep into podcasts. Yeah, I'm deep into something at nine.
I can't float at 9.
No.
So I want to get back. I'll get over there. I know they're doing a lot of floats.
Yeah.
So they're killing it.
They are. I'm so glad. That's such a wonderful service.
We just did our Into Deep podcast, did a podcast with the band Black Circle on Monday to promote this EB. What's it called? It's basically a skin condition that they're trying to raise awareness through the Eddie and Jill Vedder Foundation. And this band Black Circle, and they're doing this big event tonight at 7:00. It's on Nugs TV. And they came on our podcast. The band came on our podcast on Monday and just to promote it. And we talked to them. And then they called us yesterday and asked us if we would come on the live stream tomorrow night for the Nugs TV with Pearl Jam, millions of people. So we're like, of course, yeah. So we're talking, and then the guy, Chris Palumbo, calls up, reaches out to Carlos yesterday and says, hey, can you come on the Zoom call just to test out our equipment? And Carlos like, yeah. Comes, joins the Zoom meeting. Jill Vedder joins the Zoom meeting, and all of a sudden they decide they're going to do it. So they did all of this last night. So I didn't get to join Carlos because we thought it was going to be today. But Carlos was on this great live stream last night. It's getting streamed tonight at 7:00 on Nugs TV. It's with Black Circle, Pearl Jam, all these great people. But the Into Deep podcast gets a shout out to like millions of people. So,
hey-o.
Pretty excited about that. I would have liked to have been part of it. Just didn't happen. But,
yeah,
you know, it's not about me. It's about, you know, our podcast, the Into Deep podcast. It's not about one individual. It's about a village. And that's what always has been the philosophy with this network and doing this. Because I know that when I started podcasting by myself, you know, there's not a lot of support. There's a lot of dreams and visions. But, you know, it's hard to do it on your own. So it's been fun to work with all you guys and gals. And I hope everyone's having a good time and is happy.
I love podcasting. It's one of those things that I always wanted to do. And it just kind of fell into...
Well, it seems like, oh, I can't do that. Why not? I don't know. It's podcasting.
Super easy, super fun.
Yeah, it is. And I know people tell me all the time, I love, you know, Julie's podcast. I love this podcast. I love that. So people are telling me that they love it. And we're looking at the numbers and people are listening. So, yeah. You know, thank you. Thanks for being a part of it.
I'm thrilled to be a part of it. Thank you for having me.
You're one of the village people.
I'm a village person.
you can be the why. All right, you want to take us out with a little singing of the bowls? What time is it?
Where is our Tiff? Where's our Tiff bear?
Tiffany's probably out in the parking lot.
Is it time? Is she here?
It's 10:15. Let's see if I can get ready to sing.
Try the outside.
Oh, the outside.
There you go. Oh, listen to that.
I love how this bowl is yellow.
Well, it's made out of citrine.
I'm going to take a picture of it. I'm going to have to post some of these pictures on our...
You know, Tom, my favorite was is when you first met this bowl and you picked it up to carry it and, the little ring
fell off.
And you were like, bowl!
Oh, my God.
The look on your face was so bright. you describe like looking down and seeing this piece fall away?
Yeah, well, I thought the ass fell out of it. It's like, I just broke it, the bowl. Not good.
It was so great. I'm sorry you felt that, but it's giving me a lot of joy.
You're welcome.
It continues to give joy like the next week.
Well, listen, Julie, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for hanging. Thanks for chatting.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. We'll do this again.
Okay.
People come find your podcast, The Gifted.
The Gifted.
Find all of our podcasts at www.socialpodcastnetwork.com and follow them. Do you have an Insta?
I don't. They've been telling me to do that for some time.
No, I'm just, I mean, if you do, I want to put it out there so people can follow
I'm
you
open
and reach
to it.
Out. Yeah.
I might need like a beginner Instagram. I'm a sound person, so visual, it's like, oh.
Well, there's a...
It's out of my comfort zone.
You could just sit there and film yourself spinning the wand around the bowl. Mm. People dig that.
Would they dig it?
They would dig it.
They dig it.
But thank you.
Okay.
And we'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.